Welcome back to the Canvas Chronicle. I'm your host, Ben Hemmer. Just me today, no Jaden. So, yeah, let's get right into it. So, first off, we're going to start off with the DMAC basketball team, right? DMAC is doing pretty well, the men's basketball team. I believe that they're off to their best start, and I don't even know how long, but their overall stand for basketball, let's see here what their basketball, what their record is here. Our record is, they're 25-1 overall. So overall, just a great year for the team. Their only loss this year has been to Spoon River, the community college in Fulton County, Illinois. But otherwise, they've won every other game, and you know, want them to do well, want them to succeed. And so yeah, they've beaten Iowa Central, they've beaten Southwestern, they've beaten Dakota County, they've beaten Iowa Central, they've beaten Iowa Western, they've beaten Iowa Lakes, they've beaten Nyack, Kirkwood. So just overall, just they have four games left. They tomorrow they play against Iowa Western at 3 o'clock in Boone. Wednesday, February 18th, they travel to Norfolk, Nebraska to play against Northeast in Nebraska. Then Saturday, February 21st, they travel at 3 o'clock to play against Kirkwood. And then their final game of the year will be at home against Ellsworth Community College, so in Boone at 7:30. So overall, just a very great year by the DMAC men's basketball team. And let's check in here on the women's basketball team here real quick and see how they're doing. They are, let's see here. They're 20-6 overall. So overall, pretty good record. Not as good as the men's, but, you know, they're still a pretty good team. Their only losses this year are to Northeast, like I just said, in Nebraska. That was at home. They lost by 5, 65-60. And then they lost to Kirkwood in Boone, 59-53. And then at Nyack, 62-58. And then they lost on Saturday, January 10th, to Iowa Lakes in Boone, 69-61. And then Iowa Western, they lost 56-52. And Iowa Central, they lost 51-44. So relatively, you know, these losses for the women's team have been very close. You know, they've all been within 10 points. And, you know, if you look at the scores, you know, they've relatively, most of their games have been close, right? You know, they've been, you know, they haven't been blowing opponents out. They did blow out Southeastern Community College, which was cool. And Graceland too, they blew out. So overall, just you know, great records by the men's and women's team for DMAC, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they can do for the rest of the season. And you know, it's really cool to see how, you know, we're doing this year. And let's see who the leading scorers are for the men's and women's team. I believe Kiki Dang from Valley is the leading scorer. I'll have to check that out here, what their leading scorer is. Let's see here. So Kiki Dang is averaging, let's see here, he's averaging 9.8 points. So not bad, but that's average for him. That's average. And yeah, just great overall, you know, play by DMAC men's and women's basketball team. I wish them nothing but the best for the rest of the season, and you know, finish the season on a high note, because you know, we want DMAC to do well. You know, we're at the DMAC Ankeny campus. We want, you know, them and Boone to do well and to finish up their season on a high note. So, yeah, just overall, great wins by the Iowa men, the DMAC men and women's basketball teams. So hopefully that you guys can, you know, finish the season on a high note. And, yeah, so next up we have the Iowa men's and women's basketball team, right? You know, the Iowa men fortunately did not win against Maryland on the road. Maryland was not a good team. You know, they were 2-10 in the conference, 10-14 overall record. Iowa was 18-6. They, you know, just didn't play well. They couldn't hit shots. It feels like it took Sturts forever to get going. And, you know, when you wait those 10 seconds to shoot the ball, it's, you know, you're not going to win a lot of games. And I think it was very cool to see, you know, just, you know, Maryland win. And but at the same time, I just, you know, I wish I would have won, but hey, the women won, so that was good. You know, they played at the same at different times. The Iowa men played at 5 on Wednesday, February 11th. They played at 5, very early game for a Big Ten game, especially because it was at Maryland on the East Coast. And the women played at 6:30 at home against Washington on Big Ten Plus. And luckily that they were able to, you know, snap the 4-game losing streak, right? Because, you know, they were on a 3-game losing streak coming into the game. And they were, I told people this last podcast, is that you can ill afford to lose 4 games if you're like women. And it was a great job by them, you know, to come back home and bounce back and get a well hard fought victory against a ranked Washington team at home. And I think my takeaways from the men's game was just, you know, Sturts can get going, right? Yeah, I know he had, let me check here. He had 32 points, and it didn't feel like, you know, he had 32 points just because, you know, the way he was playing and the way that they were guarding him. But I kept telling people this, it's like, Sturts needs to be selfish a little more, right? You know, not pass it off to your teammates. He needs to take those hard shots because, you know, this isn't a Missouri Valley Conference anymore, right? This is the Big Ten. And so I feel like Sturts could have shot a little bit more threes, could have drafted the basket a little more, and I feel like Iowa could have won because of that. But I think coming in this year, we didn't know how good Iowa would be, right? We know that, you know, Ben McCollum got hired. We knew that they brought over a lot of their guys from Drake. You know, Bennett Sturts, obviously the main headline, you know, Missouri Valley Conference Player of the Year. You know, I think bringing those guys over, we didn't know how good they'd be. You know, we know that they would have some losses that they shouldn't have lost, and then we know that they would have wins that they shouldn't have won. And I think this year for Iowa, it's been really, you know, an up and down year, and it's just been an up and down year. And hopefully that Iowa can finish strong and make the tournament. And I thought Koch for Iowa men did not play well. I've been telling people this. I do not think Cooper Koch should be starting. You know, I think Hausen and Folgera should be starting, because what Hausen brings to Iowa, you know, but just with his, you know, 3-point shooting is, you know, it's unique because Iowa hasn't had a good 3-point shooter since Jordan Bohannon. And I think it's, Ben needs to start him because, you know, he's a good player, right? And, so yeah, it's a tough loss by the Iowa men, on Wednesday, falling. It was close, you know, 77-70, but they travel. They go back home tomorrow on Valentine's Day against Purdue. Tomorrow at 4 o'clock, the number 13th ranked Purdue Boilermakers will travel to Iowa City, and hopefully that the Hawks get the win. And one more thing on how Iowa played. I thought that, you know, I think Wednesday showed that, you know, Bennett Sears can't do it all, right? He can't carry this team on his back every single night. You know, some days other players are going to have to step up if they want to win, you know, whether it's Tavion Banks, whether it's Fulgaris, whether it's Hausen, whether it's Koch, whether it's Kale Combs, whether it's Manuel, you know, somebody else has to step up big for this team. You know, Sturts can't do it all by himself. That's all he's done all game this year, is carry them. And if he doesn't score 36 against Northwestern, we don't win that game at home. And, you know, I think somebody else has got to step up, right? And Iowa, nobody else has shown that they can step up this year and be that, you know, that number two guy this year. And so, just tough loss by Iowa men, and hopefully that they can bounce back at home tomorrow at 4 o'clock against Purdue. And on to the Iowa women now, just, you know, great win. You know, Hayden showed, you know, promise of her being good. Stolke played all right. Dio played fine. And let's look at the box score here for the women. It was 65-56, relatively close game for the Iowa women. Chit Chat had 21 points. Tara Stremo had 9. Ava Hayden had 11 points. Stolke had 14. Fearbach had 5. So overall, just a great win by Iowa. You know, they're 19-5 on the season now. And they play next on, let me check here when they play. They play Monday, February 16th at 11 o'clock a.m. Against Nebraska. I don't know why the game is at 11 I don't know why it's at 11 o'clock, but yeah, that seems a little weird. But yeah, just overall, just a great win by the Iowa women, and I'm proud that they didn't drop, you know, 4 straight games in a row, because that was a much needed win for the Iowa women. And, you know, to do it without Tara McCabe too makes it, you know, even more, you know, impressive, because Iowa was on three game winning streak without Tara McCabe. But, you know, they did beat Ohio State, a ranked Ohio State team at home without McCabe, but she started the game, but she didn't finish. But just a great win, and on the Kansas basketball now. So Kansas plays tomorrow against Iowa State, and here in the state of Iowa. I will fortunately not be going to the game. I will be watching it though at home. Kansas plays tomorrow at 12 o'clock, at Iowa State at Hilton Coliseum. Last year I went to the Kansas versus Iowa State game, and fortunately Kansas did not win, but it was just overall just a great game. And Hilton's a fun place. You know, it's nowhere near Allen Fieldhouse, but it was a cool place to play. And, you know, I think if Kansas can beat the number one team in the country, I think they can beat Iowa State on the road. You know, that's just how it is. And, you know, this is gonna test and see how if that game was just a fluke for them. You know, if they can actually, you know, win that game. And so I think Kansas, just go on the road and keep doing what you're doing, right? You know, you're on a 6-game win streak right now. You're facing off against a number 5 team who, you know, you already beat at home once, and you can beat them again. So just keep doing what you're doing, right? Because as a Kansas fan myself, it's making, you know, me happy. It's making all the Kansas fans out there happy. And I was hoping to go to the game this year, but unfortunately we will not be going. I'll be watching at home though, and cheering for Kansas to win. And so yeah, Badunga's playing well at the right time, you know, and I hope that Darren Peterson can come back and play this full game, because we're going to need him, right? We're going to need Darren to step up and play well. And so yeah, hopefully, you know, that Darren plays a full game and that he doesn't, you know, play the full first half and then sits out the second half, right? So I just hoping for Darren Peterson to play well, and I'm hoping that, you know, that he plays well and that Kansas can play well, you know, tomorrow. And so yeah, so next up we got my Chicago Bears. You know, I saw the other day, yesterday actually, that I believe Colson Loveland won some award for our team. I don't know what it was. I can check it right here. He won, let's see here. No, where is it at? Here we go. He won. Oh, man. Here we go. He has been named the highest graded rookie from the 2025 class. That's pretty cool for Colson Loveland. You know, at first I questioned the Colson Loveland pick. You know, was he the right pick? You know, Tyler Warren was right there and all that stuff. At when we first drafted him, I criticized Ryan Poles, right, for, you know, making that selection, because at the time I didn't like it, right? Tyler Warren had just come off of winning the John Mackey Award for the best set in college football. You know, I wasn't a big fan of, you know, Colson Loveland. I knew who he was because he played at Michigan in the Big Ten and he played against Iowa a lot, but I just wasn't a fan of him. And when we decided to, you know, pick up Colson Loveland, I didn't like it at first, but now I realize that it was a good pick, and that, you know, Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles made the right selection, right? They did. They made the right pick. And Tyler Warren's having a phenomenal rookie year. I'm not going to take that away from him. But what Colson Loveland is doing for this team is unbelievable. You know, nobody thought, myself included, nobody thought that he would do this good. And the really the game that he came on this year was, I think it was week 8 against the Cincinnati Bengals, where he ended up catching like the game-winning pass from Caleb Williams with like, you know, 20 seconds left, and the Bears were able to win that game. And I think that's where, you know, the superstar, you know, he's not a superstar yet, but I think that's where Colson Loveland really shined this year. That's where the game that he really, you know, shined for us. And he stepped up at the right time, because that game against the Bengals was a back and forth game, man. It was going back and forth. I didn't watch it. I followed it on ESPN, but man, that game was just going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Teams were scoring nonstop, and you know, for Caleb Williams to find Colson Loveland like that and in the end zone, and you know, for him to, you know, just to find him, and the Colson Loveland to come on at the right time, I think was cool. He and then Colson Loveland ended up having some great catches against Green Bay Packers when we played them the second time, 2 weeks before we lost to them on the road. He ended up having some great catches against the Green Bay Packers, and then when we played the Packers in the playoffs, he had like a lot of catches or a lot of receiving yards on that. Let's see here. He ended up having, so his biggest game this year, yeah, so January 10th against Green Bay, he had 8 receptions for 137 yards and no touchdowns. But that game, he was huge, right? I don't think if he doesn't, you know, catch those balls, I don't think that we win that game. And I think that was his biggest game of the year. And I'm really proud that, you know, we drafted Colson Loveland, because he's going to be in Chicago for a long time, Bears fans. And, you know, for all the Bears fans listening to this, I'm happy that we got Colson Loveland now. You know, at first I wasn't happy that we took him, because at the time, you know, Tyler Warren was right there and all that stuff. But I'm glad that we took him now, because, you know, he's a stud and he's going to be here and the thing is, Bears fans, he's only 21 years old, which is crazy. And he's not even going to be 22 until April. So for him to do this at such a young age, and for him to, you know, show why he's going to become a superstar here soon, is, it's just, I think next year he'll be tight end one. I mean, I think Colson's overtaken Cole Kmet as tight end one right now for this team. And, Bears fans, I'm really excited for, you know, the future of, you know, the Bears. And, Caleb will be here for a long time, right? Ben will be here for a long time. Luther Burden will be here for a long time. Kyle Manungai, you know. It'll be interesting to see who the Bears sign this offseason. You know, they're going to hopefully that Poles can re-sign Byard, bring him back. The NFL's reigning interceptions leader was 7, right? Hopefully that Poles can bring him back. Hopefully we can bring back C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who was just a great signing by Ryan Poles. And, you know, doesn't jump out the building with his athleticism, but he makes the right plays at the right time for the Bears, and that's why the Bears brought him in, you know, because he knows Dennis Allen, right? He knows Ben too. He actually played for Dennis Allen in New Orleans as he was a defensive coordinator, I think, for his first couple years in the league. And then T.J. Gardner-Johnson went to the Lions for 1 year when Ben Johnson was the offensive coordinator, and so that's how the connection. That's why the Bears brought him in, and hopefully that we can, you know, re-sign him. And I think we're gonna let Tremaine Edmonds walk. You know, he's been a solid linebacker for the Bears. You know, he hasn't been great. I think liability, you know, he's getting older now, and that was a decent signing by Poles. You know, it was an okay signing. It wasn't great, but you know, I just think that for the Bears, great signing. You know, with C.J. Gardner-Johnson, and you know, we re-signed Edwards this past offseason, the 2-year deal. You know, his season was kind of cut short. You know, because of injuries, he played in a couple games and he sat out. Then he played again a couple games and he sat out. And, you know, hopefully that he, you know, could come back at the right time, because we're going to need him in crucial spots next year. You know, the schedule is going to be even harder, you know, and if we can win those tough games, that's going to show how gritty of a team we are, how good of a team we really are. You know, if you can grind out those wins next year, if you can, you know, grind out those wins and get, you know, the wins against the good teams, those are gonna show. And I trust Ben 100%. I think that I've been telling people this. I think the Chicago Bears are one superstar edge rusher away from going to the Super Bowl. You know, hopefully that Poles this offseason, Ryan Poles goes all in and he gets, if I'm Poles, I'm doing whatever it takes to land Max Crosby. I'm doing whatever it takes to land Trey Hendrickson. I'm doing whatever it takes to land Myles Garrett. Because those are superstar edge rushers. And, you know, we had great safeties last year in Byard and Brisker. We had solid linebacker play. The defensive line was our weakness on the defense by far. You know, Montez Sweat was our best defensive lineman. He had 5 sacks this season, you know. We need to trade for a superstar edge rusher, you know, no matter if it's Hendrickson, Crosby, Grayer, whichever one of those, I'll be happy with. And so yeah, Poles, you know, I'm doing whatever it takes next year to go out and in this offseason, I'm doing whatever it takes to go out and sign those guys. And in the draft this year, address defense with your first pick, take a defensive lineman, because we're going to need that, because our defense struggled to get to the quarterback this year. You know, we didn't have a lot of sacks this year. Most of our big plays were takeaways this year, you know, by Kevin Byard and CJ Gardner-Johnson and Jalen Johnson, and most of them were picks too. So we're going to need to get to the quarterback a lot more this year, because if we can get to the quarterback, that puts a lot less pressure on our offense to, you know, to score a lot of points. You know, because that Niners game this year when we were playing, you know, our defense was just so bad. You know, Brock Purdy had all day to throw in the pocket, right? You know, that can't happen, right? Brock Purdy cannot have that much time to throw in the pocket. And if we go out and we get Trey Hendrickson or Myles Garrett or Max Crosby, you know, he has less time to think. And we have someone that can sack the quarterback consistently every single game. You know, not just, you know, week one and then you sack with somebody else week seven. You know, it's consistency every single game, getting multiple sacks. And it's going to take a lot, you know, to get guys like Myles Garrett and Trey Hendrickson and Max Crosby. But I trust Poles and Ben Johnson. You know, Ben was the reason why we went out and we got Joe Tooney last year. He was the reason why we went out and got Jonah Jackson. He was the reason why we went out and got Drew Dolman. You know, and I think, and Joe Tooney has been the best signing by the Bears, I think, in a long time. You know, he won the NFL. He's won the NFL's Protector, the first ever NFL Protector of the Year award. And you don't see that with the Bears. You know, usually the Bears' offensive line struggled, because we saw last year, Caleb got sacked the most ever by a rookie, you know, because his offensive line wasn't good, right? And now this offseason, the Bears, they went out and they addressed offensive line. Like I just said, they went out and they traded for Tooney. They got Jonah Jackson. They got Drew Dolman. So that's set, right? Now you just have to go out and you got to get the good defensive linemen, you know. In the draft, get guys of need, right? Go out and get a linebacker. Go out and get a couple safeties. Go out and get a bunch of defensive linemen, because we're going to need that. If we want to go all in next year, if we want to be a Super Bowl contender for the Bears, we're going to need to go out and get a superstar guy. And Poles really hasn't done that in his time as a GM. He really hasn't gone out there and, you know, signed a superstar edge rusher. You know, he's been the GM for 4 years now, since 2022. Since my freshman year in high school. And so, yeah, I think, you know, one of the main criticisms of Poles was, you know, keeping Eberflus around a long time, right? You know, Eberflus, you know, we lost so many games last year. We lost 4 games that we shouldn't have lost because of terrible coaching last year, right? And, you know, this year we were winning those games that we lost last year. Because, you know why? Because we have a better coach. Ben Johnson is a better coach than Matt Eberflus. Ben Johnson did more in 1 year than Matt Eberflus did in 3 years with the Bears. He just did, you know. And he made Caleb a better quarterback. He went out and he got the offensive line that Caleb needed to protect him. He went out and he drafted Luther Burden. He drafted Colson Loveland. He drafted Kyle Manungai. DJ Moore is still here. They still have Cole Kmet. And we've upgraded a lot, and the wins showed why, right? When we won games this year, it showed why. Caleb had a lot more time to throw in the pocket because his offensive line were a lot better than last year. You know, Joe Tooney is a great player. Jonah Jackson is a great player. Drew Dolman's a good player. All guys that were named to the Pro Bowl. And I think the biggest surprise this year was, you know, Nashawn Wright breaking out, right? You know, at first when the Bears signed Nashawn Wright, I wasn't I didn't like it, right? Because it was just another corner at first. I was like, you know, oh, he won't do anything. He won't make a roster. But, you know, a lot of credit has to go out to Al Harris, right? Our defensive back coach who got a couple interviews for the Packers head defense coordinator job. Luckily, he didn't get it. And so, yeah, I think that's been the main surprise for the Bears is, you know, the emergence of Nashawn Wright. I don't think he'll be back with this team next year. I think I just don't think he'll be back. I think the Bears will draft the corner. You know, you already have Jalen Johnson on one side, so, and you probably most likely bring back CJ Gardner Johnson and Kevin Byard. I hope Brisker's back, but I don't think he will. But yeah, man, I'm looking forward to another great year of Bears football. You know, free agency will be here before I know it, and for the Bears, and I'm really, really excited. You know, just for the, you know, for the future, because the future is bright, right? You know, we made good signings. We, you know, we upgraded a lot this year. We made a new coaching hire, and you know, I think Ben believes in his team. His players believe in him. You know, and seeing the good, better, best chance in the locker room, you know, it just makes me so happy as a Bears fan, because Matt Eberflus never did that, right? And you know, when the Bears are down by 5 with 2 minutes left, there's no doubt the Bears believe that they can come back and win. Ben Johnson does not blink at all. He knows that his team, the game's not over yet. The game's not over. The clock hits 0, and that's what I love about Ben Johnson is that, you know, when the game's not over, right? You know, you're still in it. You know, just because you're down by 10 with 2 minutes left, the game isn't over. You still have a chance to come back if your defense can execute and you can get the ball back and you can score. The game's not over until the clock hits 0. Right, and you saw Caleb this year have 7 game winning drives, right? Because of, you know, the belief that Ben had in him and the belief that the players had that the game's not over and that they can come back from anything, you know. I saw the Bears this year come back down from 18 down against the Packers. They were down 21-3, and I was like, man, we are not gonna win this game, right? I didn't think that we were, and the Bears would be able to come back and win that game. It meant a lot, right? Because it was against, you know, the Green Bay Packers, you know, your bitter rival. And Ben Johnson is a man of his word. I'll give him credit for that, you know. I kind of enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year, you know. Ben's a man of his word. You know, I got to give him credit for that. And, you know, it makes it even more special. You know, I go back and this morning I was actually watching the Bears versus Packers playoff game and the one, you know, when Caleb hit DJ Moore for that game when he touched down in overtime. It feels good, right? Because for so many years, the Green Bay Packers, you know, beat you. They didn't just beat you, they dominated you. And, you know, the issues that went wrong for the Packers is, you know, your Brandon McManus not making his extra points and field goals, you know, usually happens to the Bears, right? We're used to that happening. And, for it to happen to the Packers this year and for, you know, everything to go wrong for them makes it even more special because, that's the team I hate the most. And it feels good as a Bears fan, right? You know, it feels good that, you know, that you have your quarterback for the future. You have the coach for the future. Ben is just a great coach. And, you know, I can't wait till I get the notification on my phone that breaking news, Bears are going to get Trey Hendrickson. They're going to get Max Crosby. They're going to get Myles Garrett. So I'm just really looking forward to this Bears season because, you know, now we know what the standard is for the Bears. It's 8 wins or more, right? I did not think coming this year the Bears would win 11 games. I didn't. You know, I didn't think that we were that good enough of a team, and the Bears, Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams, they proved me wrong this year. So I'm glad that I was wrong because, you know, Caleb is here to stay for a while, right? Ben is here to stay for a while, right? And I'm so excited, man. It gives me chills just talking about this. But, yeah, looking forward to the Bears next season, man. It's going to be a fun time, and we'll keep you updated on the draft and free agency, whoever the Bears sign. We'll talk about it on here. And next up, man, the Chicago Cubs, right? My Chicago Cubs. Spring training is getting underway here. I believe the Cubs' first game in spring training is, let me see here. So their first game is Friday, February 20th, 2:05 against their crosstown rival, the Chicago White Sox. And I've talked about I've talked about the Cubs before on this channel and how much I'm looking forward to the season, right? You know, They brought in guys like Alex Bregman. They traded for Edward Cabrera. They went out and they added to their bullpen. Daniel Puente is looking like their next future closer for so many years. They have Shota Maga. They have Matthew Boyd. They have Nico Horner. They have Matt Shaw, who they can now use as a utility guy now that Alex Bregman will be their everyday third baseman. They have Michael Busch, who's amazing. They have Ian Happ, who's back. They have Seiya Suzuki. They have PCA. They have Carson Kelly. And I think the Cubs going out and get Edward Cabrera was really big, you know. And it's what they needed, right? You know, just like with the Bears, how – their big need is going out and get a superstar edge rusher. This is exactly what the Cubs needed, right? They needed, you know, Edward Cabrera to come in here and to fix her up the starting rotation. Now, you know, now your starting rotation is Matthew Boyd, Shota Maga, Justin Steele when he gets back and healthy, Edward Cabrera, and that's a pretty dangerous starting duo for sure. And I'm looking forward to this Cubs season and. Looking forward to getting down to hopefully a couple games this year for the Cubs because, you know, I got family that lives down there and in Chicago and I'm just looking forward to it all. You know, it's gonna be a good time and next up we got the NBA. You know, I'm not really a big NBA fan, right? But if I'm not mistaken, I believe the NBA All-Star Game is this Sunday. It's kind of a weird format for the NBA All-Star Game, but let me see here. So the round robin will start Sunday, February 15th, 4 o'clock, and then whoever wins that will play against the Stripes team at Sunday, February 15th, 4:55, and then whoever wins that will play against the Stripes again at 5:25. So it's kind of a weird All-Star Game, right? It's not what it used to be, right? I've said before that, you know, the All-Star Game, they need to wear their team jerseys like they do in the MLB, right? And I don't know why they don't do it. I think that, you know, they just need to do it. They need to just play the game normally, right? And the NBA, the All-Star Game is not what it used to be, right? It's not what the NBA All-Star Game was in the past. You know, in the past, where it is, they used to wear their team jerseys and they used to right, when you wear your team jerseys, you know what team they're from, right? You can look at their jersey and say, hey, he's from the Hornets. Hey, he's from the Warriors. Hey, he's from the Bulls, right? You know, you can tell what player it is. But now it's hard to tell, right? And it's not really what it used to be, right? And as a guy that doesn't want to watch NBA, I just like with the NFL Pro Bowl, I don't think I'll be watching this All-Star game, you know. We shouldn't have two teams pointing at each other to play against the winner. You know, it should just be East All-Stars versus the West All-Stars, and whoever wins that wins the game. And I get what they're trying to do with all this other stuff to make money, but, you know, just play the game, right? We voted for these guys in here because we want to see them play, right? And, you know, to not see them play is just it's not really sad, but, you know, I understand why some of them don't want to play, but, you know, it's just NBA All-Star game this weekend. I believe the NBA All-Star Celebrity Game is tonight. Speaking of that, Bears quarterback Cale Williams, it's actually in Los Angeles where the Clippers play. Cale Williams, Bears quarterback, will be participating in the NBA Celebrity Game. I'd probably be watching that just so I can see Cale play, but I don't know how good of a hooper Caleb is. We'll see how good he is. I think he'll do fine. Shams Charania is in it. NBA reporter. I don't know if that's how you say his name. NBA reporter. I think Quavo's in it. I think Drewski's in it. So I don't know anybody else, but I know those are the main guys. And I'll probably watch a little bit of it, but maybe I'll be watching Milwaukee Northwest Wolves play tonight against the Dowling Catholic Maroons. At girls' game starts at 6:15 at Dowling. Boys' game is at 7:45 at Dowling Catholic Gymnasium. And, you know, I just want to see Northwest keep doing what they're doing, right? You know, we thought that, you know, we had a very close game on, when was it? Tuesday against Ankeny Hawks, and I didn't think we would win that game. As a diehard Wolves fan, I was watching the entire game with my family, and, you know, I didn't think we'd win, and it's just, you know, Ankeny had all the momentum going on their side, and for Northwest, for Isaiah Oliver. Shout out Isaiah Oliver, by the way. For that, for him to just come up and clutch and hit some tough shots against some great defenders, man, it just shows how good of a team they are, right? You know, when Colin Rice and Landon Davis, when they're not having an, when they're having an off night, who else can step up for this team, right? And we saw Isaiah Oliver do it. And, you know, when he's off, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, who can step up when all three of those guys are off. You know, Landon Davis, Colin Rice, and Isaiah Oliver. Can it be Nash Kukin? Can it be Mack Heitland, who's coming on at the right time, by the way? He's shown that he's just more of a, he's not just a three-point shooter. He's showing that, you know, he can drive to the hoop. He can penetrate. He can, you know, find guys open. He can, you know, pass it out for wide open three. And, you know, Northwest traditionally doesn't have like a big man. You know, the tallest guy is Landon Davis, who's 6'9". But, you know, I think the only guy in the CMO that's the tallest is the Ankeny guy. I don't know his name, but he's 7'1". And, you know, every single game except for that game, they've had the height advantage, right? And actually the Dowling game, Troy Crane is 6'10". But, you know, Landon Davis and Colin Rice are a lot more athletic than their competition, right? You know, they're going to be playing in the Big Ten next year. Colin Rice at Nebraska, Landon Davis at Illinois. I want them to do well when they're not playing against Iowa, right? I, you know, what the connections with Ben McCollum and Ben McCollum's son Peyton playing for Northwest for 1 year, playing with Landon Davis and Colin Rice. I was hoping that, you know, Colin was going to go to Iowa and Landon, but and play against Price, but that's not how it happens sometimes. But, you know, I want them to do well, right? When they're not playing against Iowa and they're, you know, when they're not, you know, playing against Iowa and they're not playing against them. But, yeah, I want them to do really well. And so girls games at 6:45, 6:15, boys games at 7:45. I hope that if you're going to the game that you enjoy it, because I hope that Northwest wins. And I think they will. You know, Northwest, they're at Dowling. Dowling's, I believe, number four, and I think Northwest just got moved down to number three. Good, because we lost to Waukee, who was number three. But we only have three losses on the season, right? You know, Waukee, obviously, on the road was a tough game. You know, cross-town rival, it's always going to be close like that. And they lost to, I believe, the number one team in Wisconsin. I don't remember what their team name was, but, yeah. But, yeah, man, the season's going to be... here. It's going to be them before you know it, and we're going to be, I'm hoping to catch a few games here at the Wells when Northwest makes it for the guys, but I don't know what game it will be. I'm hoping to get me and Jaden down to the, you know, the Wells or Casey Center now that it, I keep calling it the Wells because that's what I'm used to, but it's the Casey Center now. I'm looking forward to hopefully getting to a couple games this year, and it's a good time to be a Wolves fan. You know, track season is going to be starting up here soon for the girls and boys, and hopefully that we can bring home another trophy to our trophy case, you know, for the girls track team, and hopefully we can bring home a trophy for the boys track team, because we've got a lot of guys that are, you know, returning. You know, as a former track runner myself, it would be cool to see one of the boys' teams win a championship, right? You know, our swimming team has won one, but, you know, I think we're still combined with Waukee, but it'd be really cool to see, you know, one of our teams win a state championship. And we've been close in boys basketball. We were runner-up twice at the same team, Valley. In 2023, we lost to them, you know, when Valley had Trevin Urich and Zay Robinson and Kiki Dang and Curtis Stinson. And then most recent year, my senior year, 2025, we lost to them. It was very close, too, but we did not end up winning that game. And it was very difficult because, you know, Northwest should be two-time state champions, right? And they just had not been able to get over the hump of beating Valley, but you don't want to worry about that this year because all their players are gone. You know, Zay Robinson's gone. Trevin Urich is gone. Kiki Dang is gone. Marcus McGregor is gone. I just hope for the Northwest, you know, that we can win, you know, state this year for, you know, our boys' team, and I'm looking forward to it, and it's a great time to be a Wolves fan for sure, and you know, I'm looking forward to it. And real quick, the Winter Olympics, you know, I haven't really been paying attention to any of that stuff. I feel like we haven't, you know, really talked about that a lot on this podcast, but I've been seeing that, unfortunately, what happened to Lindsey Vonn is, it's unfortunate. You know, I told Jaden that she probably should have just stayed retired and not came back, because, you know, something worse could happen to her, something in, you know, what I said was right. You know, something worse did happen to her when she started, and you know, it's unfortunate what happened, but hopefully that she rests up and that she calls it a career, because it was a good career, right? It was a good career for her, and yeah, just, you know, it was hard to watch, but you know, hopefully that USA can, you know, bring home a lot of gold medals and, you know, show why we're the best country out there. And, you know, it'd be really cool to bring home a lot of... I saw yesterday that the United States men won against, I think it was Serbia or some Slovenia or something. They won like 5-1 against some, I think it was like Slovenia or something in hockey. But yeah, shout out our USA men hockey team. You know, I hope that, you know, they win gold and that they, you know, just beat all their opponents, because it'd be cool to see, right? You know, Canada for many years has, you know, dominated the the sport in hockey, and you know, a lot of the guys that, you know, were that are, you know, the best players in the league are all from Canada. So it's good times for sure. But yeah, that's really all I got for you guys today. Hope you guys enjoyed it, and so if you wanna follow us, go to CanvasChronicleNews.com. Follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and X at DMAC Chronicle. Also find us on iTunes or Spotify at the Canvas Chronicle Podcast. And if you want to join me and Jaden, come on into Building 5, room 1136. You know, we'd love to have you. You know, right when you walk into Building 5, there's a room that says Canvas Chronicle. You know, come on in, and if you'd like to be on the podcast, just come on in. We'd love to have you and hear your perspective and your story on how you got here. And yeah, man, it's exciting times here at DMAC. So yeah, hopefully that you guys enjoyed this episode, and until next time.